Do you think Mike McDaniel gave game balls to everyone on the Dolphins after yesterday's win?
On defense, 15 points. You can't get a game ball with 15 points.
Because I don't know. Do we have any confirmation of it, Solana? Like, I watch the Dolphins posted some video of his post-game speech. Normally, the video will include the team gets game balls as well. But they didn't include that portion. But the part of the video, you know, that they posted, it certainly seemed like it was headed in that direction, because he was like, it takes a team, it's everyone doing their part and whatever. And I'm like, this guy gave everyone a game ball, didn't he? Can you imagine, I don't know, the punter, the holder, the long snapper, all these special teams mistakes. Can you imagine this dude putting a game ball from yesterday in their trophy case?
I sure would.
Yeah, I would too. But it'd be ridiculous.
Y'all made me feel bad about my balls I got behind me.
I mean, you did something, though.
9 tackles, 2 quarterback pressures, a sack.
Who did deserve the game ball yesterday? If you were giving a game ball for the Dolphins win yesterday, who do you give it to?
That's a hell of a question. Raheem had what, 80?
Yeah. Yeah.
Raheem had 80 coming off an injury. Like, he changed. Raheem changed the first one part of my mind.
Alec Ingold, they were focusing on him on the television, yeah, and he scored the tutty. Like, they who was it? I think it was Mark Sanchez, right? That was the analyst. Yeah. He was like, well, just watch Alec Ingold. Wherever he goes is where it's going.
Ingold, too. Ingold was a big part of it. And them running straight downhill, what we've been begging them to do, just try to play bully ball. They tried to play bully ball, and Ingold's a big part of that. I feel very funny about giving a game ball to a fullback, but he did score a touchdown.
They rewarded him. The Dolphins have had one complete offensive drive in the past 3 weeks, and nobody was more important on that drive than Alec Ingold. They gave him the touchdown, literally told him, go get us those 6 points because of how instrumental he was in getting them there. To me, it's a no-brainer. It's Alec Ingold who deserves that.
They put him on the elevator. He's they put him on the elevator.
Yeah. I mean, there was ride no with
real
that.
Highlight. Yeah.
I can ride.
Of course, they hand fed him the touchdown the week after. I bet Alec Ingold anytime TD. I had him the week before plus 1100. This time I have Raheem Mostert plus 400 anytime TD. I don't know. Maybe give it to him down there. I don't know. Guy had a pretty good game. Maybe reward him with a touchdown.
I don't know. Do you want to? You want to text McDaniel, your betting odds, because I don't think he knows them.
There's a lot of things I want to text him. I had Odell Beckham over 8.5 yards receiving. He had 2 targets, 0 receptions, 0 yards.
Hawk, this Odell mountain you've built for yourself, I won't just snatch it from under you, but I think you're barking up the wrong tree.
But that's Tyler Huntley's fault. Not Odell's fault.
He was
open.
If two was playing, Odell probably would have more yards. But for you to think the third receiver is about to get these targets, Hawk, is crazy.
Targets 8.5 yards. I didn't bet over 80.
Okay, it's called progression.
One catch for 9 yards.
It's called a progression. Okay, so first number one is number one's Reek. What Reek have, 6 or 7 for 70 yards or something? Waddle's 2. Achan or Mostert, like one of these running backs are going to be 3, get their ball out the hand fast. So Odell at the best of his time is going to be the 4th progression. And our offensive line, you can't get to 4 progressions with our offensive line, Hawk.
Ron Armstead was out there. You could have gotten to a 5th or 6th progression.
There's not a 6th person that can catch a ball, Hawk.
They got to get Odell a catch. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm betting his overs again.
I will bet his overs when Tua comes back. I will. Not now.
Fair enough. All right, you want to do headlines here for the 3 o'clock hour? We'll do headlines with Alejandro Solana, brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
All right, guys, so the Dolphins do get the victory yesterday. There was some controversy at the end. New England Patriots driving, final drive. They get a ball into the back of the end zone from Jacoby Brissett. I forget what receiver it was for New England. He gets 1 foot down. He gets the second foot down, but because his back is towards the sideline and his toes come down, but then his heel comes down, the officials, according to the rule, call it incomplete. And there were a lot of people who were upset about the call, but those are the rules.
Apparently, I wasn't too aware of it till they explained it. So his foot comes down, the second foot comes down. Like you said, the front of the foot is in bounds. So to me, the play's then over. That's what I was thinking in my head. Oh, he had the left foot in bounds, now the right one or right left, comes down, and the moment the toe touches before anything else does, 2 feet are in bounds. But apparently, because he was landing, so the toe and the heel come down, even if they don't come down together, because he's landing. If he was dragging, a toe drag swag, yep. If he was dragging, you just need the toes down. But because he was landing, the toe and the heel have to come down in bounds.
I'm not going to act like I'm Gene Stachatore, and I knew that rule. What's his name?
Gene Stachatore.
But we're always used to people do the toe drag because you're running right out of bounds. You do the toe drag. I've never seen it backwards. So I learned that rule watching the game is where, yeah. But it makes sense. It's a complete, yep, motion of your foot. So if your foot in, even if you saw, it was one game where the guy was running down the sideline, and when you're tiptoeing, your whole foot has to stay in bounds. So if your toe hits in bounds, but your heel goes out of bounds, you're out of bounds because, yep, you've touched out of bounds. So the same thing with this. If you're catching a ball, the completion of that movement is out of bounds. You're out of bounds. I'm glad it worked in the benefit
of
the Dolphins.
We'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it. But if it was on the other side, honestly, I would say it was dumb because he had both feet in bounds at one point. Plays over. I'm with you, Hawk. Plays over. Both
I'd
feet
have
in bounds.
Pissed. Oh, my God. Would, yeah, I have been pissed?
Well, dub's a dub, brother. I don't know what to tell you. Listen,
I think a dub's a dub is going to be our phrase for the remainder of the season, so just get ready for it.
I'll just stack them up. I don't care how you get them. Stack them up.
Yeah, so Odell Beckham, as Hawk mentioned, two targets, zero receptions in the game. What's funny is Odell told us earlier in the week, speaking to the media, of course, that his first touchdown pass came from Snoop Huntley in Baltimore. So he had some chemistry with him and weren't exactly clicking. But I would say the offense looked better than it did on Monday Night Football. Not, yes, that it looked good, but it looked better than it did on Monday Night Football.
Yes. I'll, yes, give you that.
Yep.
Jalen Wright and Raheem Mostert.
And I do think Teron Armstead and Raheem Mostert have such a ton to do with that.
Yeah.
Raheem Mostert makes a big difference. He really does, because he can catch the ball. He can run outside, inside. Like, his body type, his running style is exactly what this offense needs. Achane is a glorified slot receiver, and we know it. That's why they play him the way they play him. But Raheem Mostert makes a big difference in this. And y'all brought it up, Alan Ingold.
Alan Ingold.
Mm-hmm.
What's
his
name?
Alec Ingold.
Ingold. For them to leave him the game as long as they did with the fullback was surprising to me.
Jalen Wright and Raheem Mostert carried the load offensively. Jalen, 86 yards, 13 carries for the rookie. Mostert, as you're mentioning, Crowder, 19 carries for 80 yards. Achan just 18 yards on 3 carries. He had one reception that went for negative yardage as well. So two kind of duds for him. I will say, best production we've seen through 5 games from Jonnu Smith. I'm still not ready to call it a Jonnu Smith package, but he did have 5 receptions for 62 yards on 8 targets.
He gonna crank up. Y'all don't worry.
How about your guy, Julian Hill, man?
Listen.
What is that guy doing on a football field?
If I was
I'm asking Solana. Solana, that's the guy he said before the season. Solana said before the season, Julian Hill is the guy to watch.
Me?
Watch Julian Hill. He's a monster, a physical beast. Watch what he's going to do. if he walked in the steam room and I'm in the steam room, we got to grab each other. I have to see him right now.
I don't know if that's Julian Hill. I think that's actually Joel Anthony just wearing a jersey with a helmet on. That guy has no hands. He's incapable of going a full game without a penalty.
Penalty. It's crazy. He kills them.
He's a double agent. Somebody sent him here to not let us have first and 10.
The big bummer was that Javon Holland did leave the game in the fourth quarter, and he has a broken bone in his hand. So he was replaced by Elijah Campbell yesterday. Another sleeper cell is Jordan Poyer, who knocked out Jalen Phillips, and he's been tough. He didn't play yesterday. He was replaced by Marcus May. So the Dolphins now, without Javon, I imagine Jordan Poyer won't miss extended time, but obviously something to keep an eye on. Your options are Nick Needham, who was activated yesterday, rookie Jordan Colbert, Elijah Campbell. Secondary was already kind of slim, gets a little slimmer.
Somebody texts in, Hawk, so what we're saying is we're a Javon Holland punch out and a bad toe drag away from being 0-5. We are, but that's how seasons go.
If you look into a bunch of 500 teams, you can do that. Yeah. It's the NFL. That's why all the spreads are single digits.
Like you can pick apart any win, any loss, say, well, if that went that way, it's a completely different game. It's just at the end of the day, you're, what are they, 2-3? 2-3, and you're a game out of the lead in the AFC East. Listen, you can only play who's on your schedule, and you can only get a W or an L for each game. I guess you can get a tie. You still tie in the NFL?
You can.
If you go through overtime with no 10 score.
Ten minute overtime.
Even last night, the Steelers and the Cowboys, 4th and 3 or 4th and 6 from the 6, whatever it was, and somebody scores, somebody doesn't.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I will say, as dreadful as this season has been, because I yesterday didn't change my mind, this team's not good. Like, even when Tua comes back, I don't think this team's winning a Super Bowl. I will say, had you told me at the start of the season, Tua's going to get hurt in the third quarter versus Buffalo, and he'll miss 4 games. Going into the bye week, you told me the Dolphins are 2-3. I'd say, okay, like, that makes sense. I guess I would take it. Obviously, you want them to be 4-1.
I don't think I would. Not with the talent that's on this team, not with the contracts that they put out there. And you know, I'll bring up the same thing, which is, teams lose their starting quarterbacks, they get worse, but they don't fall off a cliff. And that's what happened to this team. I thought this was an AFC conference championship roster. I can't go from that, you lose your quarterback, and now they're one of the 5 worst teams in the NFL. That doesn't add up to me. Now, I was higher on the team than you were, so I'm coming from a different place. But I think this roster, man, go down this roster. But again, everything has to be perfect, especially Tua.
Yeah.
Don't go down the roster, though. I think that's the problem. Just stay at the top of the roster. Don't go down the roster. And these 5 games have proved that, man. Like,
no doubt.
Perhaps you may have overestimated how deep this roster was, because there's clearly a bereft of talent get past the top 8 players.
But the problem with that is, if Tua's out there, they beat that New England team by 28 points.
Mm-hmm.
That's how good I think this Dolphins team is with Tua. I just do. You can't tell me that game's a slog if Tua's out there. I would give you the same thing against Tennessee, and I would give you, you know, the Buffalo game. I don't see it that way. Like, for me, Seattle, you saw Seattle yesterday. Seattle got beaten by the Giants yesterday without your guy, Malik Nabers.
But to Solana's point, it's the drop-off. And I'm with you. With the importance of Tua, I swear I'm with you. When you see it, we see the offense, 70 points last year, Denver game, number one, all the stats they did last year. But Solana saying that is where we have – one of the best receivers in the league. We have one of the top quarterbacks in the league. We have an amazing pass rusher. We have Teron Armstead, who is a multi-time Pro Bowl. The guys underneath them might not be able to play at this level.
I get it. I'm with
you. That's the thing, the top heavy thing. I've been convinced about that.
I'm not arguing that. What I am arguing, though, is Solana saying even when Tua comes back, I think this is a bad football team, and I don't.
But that's predicated on
Teron Armstead being out there.
Yeah.
And Raheem Mostert being out there and Tyreek and Jalen being healthy. Like, it's predicated on everyone being out there, the top heavy guys. Because when you get past those guys, you're right.
They're devoid of
a lot of talent.
The DB, Jalen Ramsey made a big play late in the game. If Jalen Ramsey's hurt, our starting corners are Kader Kohou and what? Nick Needham?
I got you.
Cam Smith.
I'm with you. Kendall Fuller.
That's the drop-off that we're seeing now.
I got you. I'm not arguing it. I'm just saying that to say this team is bad with or without Tua, I don't think is true. I think the team is bad if you lose a bunch of your starters, but that's probably the case for a lot of NFL teams. I think this team is still really good once Tua gets back.
I think the team is good, Hawk, if they can score 30-plus points.
And they can when Tua's there.
And is that a flaw? If you have to supersede on offense for the team to
be good.
I mean,
if you're built for offense, though, if all your money is on your quarterback and two wide receivers, then, yeah, maybe that's okay. Like, that's – like, this is – you know, it's like, well, what if you have to rely on the three to win an NBA game? Well, if that's what you're built for – then, yeah, you rely on the three. Sometimes you'll die with the three, but if you rely on it, if that's what you're built for, it's what you're built for.
Golden State did it. Everybody could do it. Steph could do it. Klay could do it. Draymond could do it. They won a championship doing that, but they all had to be there to be able to shoot those threes.
But here's the problem. You were that team last year, and it wasn't good enough. You had to change your identity to go up against the team standing in your way, the more physical teams. And they told us this year that that's what they were doing. That they were a finesse team. Everybody knew it around the league. Jordan Poyer told you that that's what everybody thought of the Dolphins, and they were going to change that narrative about them, and they just clearly didn't. And I can only go off of what I've seen when this team's been healthy. That's four full quarters against Jacksonville, who was really bad, finally got their first win yesterday, and two quarters and 5 minutes against Buffalo. And when this team has been healthy, they haven't looked good yet, Hawk. So I hope you're right.
I just don't think they're drastic. I mean, they're not drastically different than last season, and they were very good last season. And, you know, if you want to do the thing that the texter was doing with, well, if this happens, if they don't blow that Tennessee lead, they're not in Kansas City at minus 80 degrees and unable to move the ball, which is understandable. So, I think it's a good team.
But, Hawk, they're drastically different than last year.
Well, they could certainly use Andrew Van Ginkel.
These first five games, Hawk.
They could certainly use him.
We just gave a game ball to a fullback. That's what you want to sell me,
Hawk?
That's
what Solana just wanted, though. He doesn't want finesse. He wants a fullback to lead the team. It's exactly what he just aspired to be.
Like, what are we talking about when we're giving game balls to fullbacks when we were the number one offense in the league?
Then they've adopted the identity that Solana wanted.
I'm just saying, Hawk, like, there is a flaw in this. Is it top heavy? Is it whatever? Is it, you know, paying too much? Whatever it is, there is a flaw. There's a glitch in the matrix right now that Tua could get hurt and we can't even pee a drop on offense. And we're praising a team for scoring 15 points because they're playing a team that's terrible as hell. That was a boring game that I watched on Sunday.
Boring was an overstatement.
We might as well play backgammon and see what happens. Hey, Tyler, play backgammon or spades. Pick a partner, and you and Jacoby Brissett play spades, and we'll figure out who wins on the back end. I want them to renege just to see what happens. It was boring, Hawk. There's something going on in our matrix that's not right.
Let's get headlines because we don't have a ton of time with Cugno, and we got to do all our stuff. What do you think about Robert Saleh being fired by the Jets? This is what I said at the beginning of the show.
Yeah,
couldn't you possibly see that as a harbinger of things to come for the Dolphins? Where Woody Johnson looks at that team, goes, I did everything I need to do. I put together a roster. I got a good quarterback. Defense is fine. and it's not working. I'm saying you got to wait till Tua comes back. This is I'm not talking about with a backup.
Right.
A few more weeks. Solana's point yesterday was he doesn't think the Dolphins are any better when Tua comes back. I disagree.
No,
I disagree
No. Hold on. To be fair, not that they're not any better from the version we're seeing. I still don't think, Cuño, even with a healthy Tua, that this roster was constructed to go beat the elite teams in the AFC.
Well, you said they're a bad hockey. They're a bad football team.
They're definitely
even
a bad
when,
hockey team.
Yeah, they're a bad football team even when Tua comes back.
No, not that they're bad. That they're just not an elite team. That we saw them with Tua for a full healthy game, and then we saw it for two quarters and change, Cuño, against Buffalo, the team that they have to be able to beat. And to me, it didn't look any better than it did last year. They were 1-6 against playoff teams, even with a healthy Tua, healthy Teron, a healthy team. I just don't think this roster stacks up against the elite teams.
Let me say a couple things. I've seen the Dolphins team with Tua beat Josh Allen and the Bills before, and then get blown out in the next game. Like, they go back and forth with those. But to your point about the Jets, I don't ever want to follow the Jets in anything they do. So is it a harbinger?
But
I will never follow the Jets lead.
I'm not saying that they should. I'm just saying I don't think that Stephen Ross and Woody Johnson are that dissimilar at their points in their careers. Woody Johnson, he's tired of being a laughing stock, right? And he went out and got Aaron Rodgers.
But this is what makes the Jets that laughing stock.
But the Dolphins are a bigger laughing stock right now. They're a bigger laughing stock. They haven't won a playoff game in 24 years.
It looks like you have your quarterback running the show in New York, and that's
but he obviously is. He obviously is.
But you can't operate like that.
But LeBron operates that way wherever he goes.
And what happened? And he left Cleveland after he got all his friends paid, right? I mean,
You have a small window with Aaron Rodgers. He's getting old. Like, you have a small window, so let him do it.
But
bring in who he wants.
But to me, it seems like a panic move. I mean, what are you going to get out of a interim head coach that you wouldn't have gotten out of the guy who brought that guy in? So it was the least surprising move I think I've ever seen with the Jets, because I think this is just right up their alley.
And Mike, but to that point, but even what you're saying, Robert Saleh was 20-36. Mm-hmm. Right now, Mike McDaniel's 22-17. So the success is there. It's just the postseason. He's 0-2 in the playoffs. It's kind of Solana's point, is what he always says. We'll get to the postseason, but we'll get our ass kicked. But is there any chance, like Hawk's saying, Mike, the harbinger of, because it made me think about it. When they fired Saleh, I'm like, if Tua comes back and this team is still under 500, would that even come up in anybody's mind that McDaniel might not be the right guy?
I'm not sure this is the year to necessarily say that, although, the offense has certainly had its issues. I mean, the fact that a couple games ago they couldn't even get off the line of scrimmage, obviously there was a lot of, undisciplined football being played, and we've seen that a couple of times. But when you lose your quarterback and you go through the injuries that this team is still going through, I'm still not ready to hit that button. I mean, they just gave the guy an extension. Are you just gonna?
I'm not ready to. I'm not ready
because I've seen what it looks like when it's working with McDaniel and Tua. So I've seen both sides of it, and I kind of want to see the side. Continue to see the side that kept getting the Dolphins to the playoffs, which is what was working the last 2 years, and where just injuries derail them. And Solana, maybe to your point, is depth maybe their biggest issue in terms of being one of these elite teams where they can have the next wave of guys come up? To me, that's where I would look at this. Is like, you've got the star power. You've got that frontline talent. Make sure you're going out and building the team behind them as well, so when there is a guy who goes out, the drop-off isn't that far.
Because what does happen if Solana's right? Mm-hmm. Let's say they're a mediocre. Is mediocre fine, Solana? Like, if they end up, 9-8? Like,
yeah. I mean, to me, that's worst case scenario. You
right.
built a team that's good enough to beat bad teams, but not good enough to beat good teams. That's the worst place to be in.
So they're 9-8 mm-hmm. at the end of the season. Maybe they're a wild card team. Maybe they're not. But what do you do if you're Stephen Ross? Now you're going to go into year four. And again, I'm not a proponent of this. I'm a huge fan of Tua, and I'm a huge fan of Mike McDaniel. But you could understand where Stephen Ross, like Woody Johnson, just getting impatient and saying, wait a second, I gave you the quarterback, and it's Chris Greer, too, right, that really needs to be part of the conversation. But I gave you the big contract for the quarterback. We got the best wide receiver in football. We've done everything that you wanted to do. You got you wanted contract extensions for Jalen Waddle and Jalen Ramsey. And, like, you know, we did everything. Where is my ring?
I get it. But 9-8 with the caveat and – It's part of it that your quarterback was out for 4 or 5 weeks. That's part of it. Two more wins, and all of a sudden you're 11-6, and you feel a lot better about that. You possibly win a division at 11-6 the way this division's going right now. I think you have to look at it with all the information and all the context you can before you start making snap judgments and then all of a sudden just kicking people out of South Florida.
All right, Mike Cugno is with us here. I didn't know if Crowder had another question there.
I was looking down because I was doing research on the wins and losses. But I was going to say, is this quarterback situation, what happens when Tua comes back, Mike? Is it Tyler Huntley backing him up? They have Tim Boyle on practice squad. Now Skylar Thompson, does he have a chest injury? Like, how does this work out? Hopefully, Tua, because we still got to play Indy. We have a bye. We got to play Indy. Zone the game. How do you see this working out at quarterback?
Well, to me, Tyler Huntley, I mean, just from his first game to the second game, wasn't great, but you saw
it was noticeable.
Noticeable improvement, right? Yeah. You saw things he could do, keep plays alive, all of that stuff. I like the idea of him being the backup while Skylar is, getting healthy. If Tua does come back, I feel better about the backup situation if Tua were to get hurt again. And again, this is all,
if it was Tyler, not Skylar.
Yeah.
Tyler,
Huntley.
Not...
I'd go Tyler 2, Skylar right. 3. Yeah.
But
that's the way I would go.
But that's a big knock on Chris Greer and if it was Mike McDaniel, their decision-making in the backup situation. If the guy who is in his, you know, third season that you've coached – and you know what he can do and what your offense is, and you chose him over others.
Right.
Like, if you found out in one game that he wasn't the guy, and a guy who you just signed, you know, 3 weeks into the season is a better option, that's a big knock on your personnel decisions.
Big knock, dare I say, maybe a good move. I mean, that you were able to go out and identify the right guy to now come in and be the backup. They should have addressed it. It needed to be addressed in the offseason. And you guys kept bringing up, I know you guys asked me a ton about Ryan Tannehill, and I still don't.
I wanted Josh Dobbs, Pastrnak. I still do.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, what he did with the Vikings, I mean.
Game changer.
Yeah.
I watched him in preseason. I bet against them. And
how many?
It was terrible.
How many bets did you win because of him or lose because of him?
I lost. I lost a preseason bet because of him. That, by the way, was a harbinger of things to come during the regular season for my gambling.
Hey, can I quibble with something?
Oh,
sure. Quibble.
Did Jalen Waddle ever make a tough catch in his life?
Okay, hey, hold on.
I just want to ask a question.
You've been doing this.
I just want to ask a question.
Every time it touches those paws,
but people are around him, never catches it.
You know, all year.
Xavier Restrepo catches it. Tyreek Hill catches it. When's he ever going to make a play?
Whoa.
Just help you. Whatever happened to if you touch it, you can catch it. Help your QB out. Where's Waddle?
You know who says that? People who've never caught a football.
Where's Waddle, Leroy? Where is he?
You would say something like that.
Come on, dude. I'm just asking an honest question.
Wow.
I'm not ripping him.
You're saying he doesn't.
I'm not ripping him.
You said a college kid catches better than him.
Nobody
catches better than Restrepo.
Restrepo's
best hands in the country.
Yeah, secure hands.
He should insure those hands.
Enough of those Ryan Williams highlights from Alabama. We get it. He's 17. Restrepo. That's where it's.
Nobody ever wants to say anything about Jalen Waddle. No. The last time I called out Jalen Waddle was when he blew the Vikings game 2 years ago. People got so mad at me.
He obviously blew
the game. I love Jalen Waddle and I love doing the Waddle.
First of all, don't say you like the guy, but. Okay, because your butt has been.
Is he not the sixth highest paid receiver in the league? Does he ever make a tough catch?
I don't like this.
If somebody offered you Waddle money, you going to say, no, no, I'm not that good.
All right, dude, whatever. This is the thing. Everybody treats him like he's a little baby. I love Jalen Waddle. I'm just asking, does he ever make a tough catch?
Wait, you're going at one guy. It's been slim pickings on the whole team.
When you are one of the faces of the franchise, I'm just
he's one of the faces.
He is one of the faces.
Because he got a damn dance?
Dude, yes.
That's right. You sound like Boston right now.
Okay, dude. All right, fine. You let me.
Boston.
He's
designed something, bruh.
He's lucky that dude on Boston. He's lucky that Patriots receiver. He's got a fat foot. Polk.
Dude, how about the block? The guy just threw an arm out there and blocked a punt.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how lucky you got to be to do that.
Yeah, apparently he's like their special teams ace over there. So
what? That just means he plays on every special teams. That's it.
No, man, that's their John Denny. I will never chastise. Denny. Yeah, like, you know, you always got that one special teams guy.
He's just saying, like, a little bit too much of
like Izzo.
Yeah, or like
he played all the special teams. That was his meeting room, special teams room.
Loved him.
Don't they call that alligator arms when you don't want to reach out if you're Jalen Waddle for a tough catch?
Oh, that's not.
You go like this?
Yeah. I'm just saying, like a little alligator army, you know?
You're doing too much.
I'm not doing too much. I'm just asking questions. You can't say anything anymore.
You know what'd be funny? Like, you realize if going across that middle, if you put one arm up and you get them little ribs cooked, we would have to life flight you out of there.
Probably. Yeah, okay. I'm not. I could never do what Jalen Waddle does, but he's supposed to do big things. He's an elite receiver.
If you could never do what he does, why are you the one?
I'm asking a question. Is he ever going to make a tough catch? That's all I'm asking.
Really?
What?
Asking a question.
I'm just asking. These are just questions. Why can't I ask a question?
Because you're asking questions.
Tyreek Hill made a tough catch. You see that catch he made? Tough.
Yeah, he got up.
He got up there. Never see Jalen Waddle do that. You'll never see Jalen Waddle do that.
Why not? Maybe he don't have those hops.
Trust me, even if he did, you'd never see it.
Why?
So I'll get it later.
You know, you are saying this about a guy who's had 1,000 yards receiving every year in his
I understand.
Career.
I understand. Okay. Been a very good career.
You know what I'm just saying? That means he's a good player.
I just think, like, you're in a situation. This is what I'm asking, right? You got a stinky quarterback out there, right? Help him out a little bit, baby.
Or now you're saying that you really appreciate Tua because Tua makes them guys
I've
better.
Always appreciated Tua.
I know, but I'm just saying.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, like you ever go to a birthday party, right? And, like, the kids are trying to get cute with this. Why is everybody so mad if you just – I have a question about Jalen Waddle. I love Jalen Waddle.
To a birthday party and you see somebody's dad trying to get up the wall to save his daughter. And, yeah, why can't anybody do that?
No, I'm just asking, like, tough catch. Let's go. Go up and get it.
You know, I don't like this, dude.
By the way, everybody can't make tough catches.
Not him, for sure. I've never seen it.
No, but, oh, wow. How do you...
Needs it right in the breadbasket.
This is the guy who defends
no, that's
Drew
the worst place.
Smith.
What?
You're the guy who defends...
Did you not see
it? The worst place to catch a football, where you got to figure out, like, what the hell to do with your hands.
Not you. You had soft hands. You made tough catches.
Yeah, but I caught the ball in my hands. I like it away from me, though.
Not helping Leroy.
In the stomach. In the stomach. It's hard to figure. I'm telling you, ask people who catch a football. It's hard, like you can't get your hands right.
You can root for a player, but ask questions. Like it's
you're not asking questions.
I'm asking questions. I'm not making comments.
Listen.
This is Jeopardy.
You know what you're doing right now? You're playing Jeopardy. You're asking. Did you do that? Did Jalen Waddle do that? That's how you're doing it. So you're not making it as a statement.
Keep it to myself. I just look.
He goes across the middle, but never catches a ball.
There was
200 for you. Who's Jalen Waddle?
What is Jalen Waddle's problem? Unacceptable.
There was one on the sidelines. Like I'm like, come on. I know it was a little off target, but can you haul it in one time?
I don't like this, dude. Wow.
Just one time, baby. You know, picks the team up.
He has played with Tua for quite some time. His entire college career.
Yep. He's played with other quarterbacks.
Pretty accurate. Well, Jalen Hurts?
He played with Teddy Bridgewater. Oh, he played with McCorkle. Dude sucked.
He did play with McCorkle. Or did he get drafted?
No.
He was injured. He was injured. Who threw to McCorkle? Who threw to Devontae Smith?
Was McCorkle.
So, yeah, he was injured that year, wasn't he?
Jalen Waddle was a little banged up that year, but he played with McCorkle, too.
Jalen Waddle was out for most of the year when Devontae won the Heisman.
No, but he still said, because he was asked one time in the pre-draft process, he was asked Mac Jones or Tua, and he said Mac Jones. You know.
He said he would prefer Mac Jones.
Wow. Yeah.
Because he played with Mac Jones more.
At the time, yeah, he played with Mac Jones.
So then maybe we should want to know he said that about
him. I'm just asking questions. I'm not ripping Waddle. Hey,
a schism in the locker room.
I'm not causing a schism. Remember, I rooted for Justice Winslow. Okay, I rooted for Justice Winslow on the Heat. But Justice Winslow had a very...
culture.
He had a very big problem as a basketball player, which was can't make a layup.
Mm.
I still rooted for him. But I was just like, ugh.
But there's a difference in not being able to catch a ball on the sideline and doing a layup.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference.
Mm.
A layup is like, there's a layup line. You warm up with layups.
Remember that?
Like your warm up to basketball is a layup.
Remember that playoff game against Buffalo where you just need a while to go up and make a tough catch for old Sky? Couldn't do it.
Wow. So you're saying it's his fault? The reason why the Dolphins haven't won a playoff game.
I'm not saying anybody's fault. I'm just asking a question.
Don't go high pitch. It doesn't make it any better. You've already dug this hole.
I just don't
This is one of those. You already opened up the door down the path. So now that we're going down this path, now you want to say, no. That's all right. I changed my mind.
It's too late.
We're on our way.
This is like one of those things where you can't even ask questions. It's like when, J-Fig, she loves Taylor Swift, right? But you can't honestly even say, hey, Taylor, you're the best, right?
Mm.
Jalen Waddle, maybe one of the best receivers the Dolphins have ever had. He's great. But he kind of needs it clean, you know?
Like the conversation somebody should have had with Adele?
Well, yeah. It's just like, you can't even say, not your best work.
When I'm done, you have a whole list of famous people.
Seriously.
Let's all remember Adele. She really rounded in on this one.
Mm.
I just want to be clear for the record. I love Jalen Waddle. No, I love doing the Waddle. He's the best.
You can't say that.
Why not?
Because you've been trashing him for the last 15 minutes.
I'm not trashing him. I asked a question. You guys got mad at me. This is why I don't ask Jalen Waddle questions.
Asked a question? Okay, Alex Trebek. Stop. Because you asked the question and asked it in a way of a statement that you can get away with it?
Let's see.
Huh?
I feel bad that I had to scour the internet for Jalen Waddle catches in traffic.
Dade South sent me one.
Not a lot. Not a lot here.
Jalen Waddle, big hit, tough catch.
Oh, look at that.
Monday Night Football last year. Let's see. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, though, Dade South.
Wait. The question was, hold on. The question was, has Jalen Waddle ever made a tough catch?
Not ever. Well.
Yes, you did. That's what you said.
All right.
That's what you said. There you go. There's a tough catch.
He's changing his pitch.
So here we go. Here goes Semantic Samurai.
You sure you came down with that?
Yeah. No, I'm not.
It's a picture. We don't know.
True.
Now it's alt.
That is altered. Why don't you let it go? Just let it go.
I'll let it go. I'm just asking questions. That's all. No, I thought it was a fair question.
I got questions.
You know, expectations ratchet up when you become the franchise man.
Oh, now he's the franchise man. There we go.
I mean, you're the owner's favorite player.
Really? True. You're the only one that has a dance. That's it. That's it. I bet you the owner's favorite player is Tua. You know why? Because he's been giving him $60 million a year.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, where we are joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious, Joe.
It's funny you said that, because last night I had salmon and asparagus, and on my asparagus, started when I was a kid, put mayonnaise on it. It's unbelievable. to spread it out, and I realized watching my dad do the same thing. Brian Baldinger, how are you this morning, brother?
I'm doing good, Joe. I'm glad to hear things. Never got too worked up. From this Milton storm down in South Florida. Everything looks like it's okay down there, and hope everybody else in the state of Florida is doing all right.
Yeah, we hope so.
Build up to all that, you know.
Yeah, no, we hope our folks in Tampa Bay and up there and Jacksonville and stuff are doing okay, because we had nothing. They were worried about, they canceled schools and a lot of people aren't working today, and the weather turned out to be a beautiful day down here. It's on its way to it, so that's good news down here, Baldy. But hey, boy, I'll tell you what, you spent a lot of time with the Jets. This thing just ain't adding up. And I know Aaron Rodgers went to my school, but the Robert Saleh, and the night before, Woody called him, but he just called him about his ankle and nothing about any changes taking place. I'm tired of people thinking that I have so much power in this organization. Okay, Nathaniel Hackett, man. I mean, it just doesn't add up. What's your take, Baldy?
Well, I don't know what to believe, Joe, because I'm with you. Something seems fishy. They're going to be on Monday Night TV. I was up there yesterday, but it was a player's day off yesterday because come back from London, not playing until Monday. So this is technically the first day of practice this week. It just feels fishy. It seems, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's just the whole thing. It just doesn't really add up. I mean, these reporters in New York, they're not making this stuff up. So they're not like just inventing, Nathaniel Hackett's going to get demoted. They're going to change the play caller. I don't know. It just doesn't add up. But I know Aaron categorically denied everything yesterday, had nothing to do with it. But the play calling stinks, all right? And the offense stinks. And that's usually, Buffalo fired their offense coordinator last year. Is exactly what they needed. Nobody wants to do that. But they didn't fire the head coach. And the defense is playing good. And Robert spends a lot of time with his defense. Like, the defense has kept him in all every game.
Right.
I don't know. It just doesn't add up, Joe. None of it does.
Yeah. Before we get going here, I got to ask you, Dolphins got lucky, got a call reversed at the very end of the game to beat the Patriots to go to 2-3. And by the way, all of a sudden, the AFC East looks wide open. Like, if anybody can play well, it's yours. What's your take right now on the Dolphins and where they stand, knowing potentially Tua could be back in 2 weeks?
Well, I'm sure you were jumping up and down with joy, Joe, in the broadcast booth when Alec Ingold found the end zone. I didn't think they were going to find the end zone all day.
I didn't either. No, I'm with you. Went for a pass interference call we probably wouldn't have on a 3rd and 20. Yeah.
I know. You got a break there. It's Joe. Buffalo, I don't know how Buffalo lost that game the other day. I just don't understand the play calling. They're down there on the 2-yard line. They're throwing the ball from the end zone 3 plays in a row. I mean, that's the worst thing you could do. Any offensive penalty in the end zone is a safety. You're going to lose the game right there. You got James Cook. You saw him a couple weeks ago. The guy's a hell of a back. Why wouldn't you just hand it off, make them use their timeouts? Maybe you run for a first down. But I just didn't understand. They could have got a little bit of, advantage or leeway. But, look, I mean, whoever loses on Monday night is going to lose their third game in a row in that division. And it is. It's up. If anybody can start stacking some wins, they might be able to pull away right now.
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy one. By the way, on that Monday Night Football game, who do you like? Bills? I mean, Jets have had some success against the Bills. What do you think happens? How much can the Jets bounce back offensively?
I think they can. They can't run the ball at all, Joe. I'm watching Jalen Wright and Achan and Mostert. They're running the ball good in Miami last week. I know it's against the Patriots. But they haven't been able to run the ball all year. They're last in the league. If one thing Jeff Albrecht, the new interim head coach, could do is, put some pads on these guys, go out there and work on the run game. It shouldn't be this bad. And if they can run the ball against Buffalo, I think they got a fighter's chance. I think the crowd's going to be – they don't know what to do. They're not going to know until they see it. They seen bad football against Denver 2 weeks ago. So they have a chance, I think, to win this game. They took the ball away from them a lot last year in a Monday night game up there, and Got Josh to turn the ball over.
Yeah, he did.
And so they get a couple turnovers. I think they could win the game.
So Deshaun Watson, you've got that game, I think, this week.
Yes,
boy,
I
I'll tell you what. This trade for what they gave up with the guaranteed money and all the ones is looking like a real bad. I am shocked that he is this bad, no matter what he's been through. You know, and everybody's got nicknames for him, you know, as Massage King and all that stuff. But, boy, I'll tell you what, he's playing terrible.
So there's a play last week. They're down, I don't know, 6-7 yard line. And they run just basic crosses in the middle of the field. Washington completely blows the coverage. Mari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy. Judy's got his hand up in the end zone all alone. He's reading a rush, and he ends up sacking himself. I mean, Tyler Huntley, pick a guy. They're going to make that throw. I mean, it's a basic read in the middle of the field. That's whether it's man or zone, it's a basic read. He doesn't see it. And I'm like, I don't even know what he's looking at right now, Joe. Like, he's so – like, I don't think they could stay with it. I know the guaranteed money, you got to make it work. But the season's slipping away right now. I don't care how good your defense is. When you're not scoring any points, at some point the whole thing just starts to unravel.
Yeah, well, boy, it's at that point. Were you surprised New England finally came out and said, this one's on Jacoby, we're going with Drake May, he's ready? Did that surprise you a little bit for this week?
It didn't surprise me, Joe. Like, you know, Bo Nix is developing, and Jaden Daniels has been great, and Caleb is getting better week in, week out. Like, you got to put these guys on the field. Obviously, you just saw it. They're not very explosive. But maybe the quarterback makes a difference. Maybe he makes throws to DeMario Douglas or Jalen Polk or Hunter Henry or somebody that, you know, Jacoby isn't making. And maybe the talent, you know, starts to shine through if they can protect him well enough. Defensively, they're playing okay. They're playing good enough right now to keep the score down a little bit. Like, maybe it's time because they're not – the offense looks like it's just playing in mud right now. And so there's no explosion to it. I don't have any problem. If the guy's wired the right way, if he gets hit a few times, takes a few shacks, whatever, all right, you'll find out a lot about him.
Hey, Baldy, where's Davante Adams end up? I think he gets traded. I don't know if you do, but if they do end up trading him, where do you think he ends up going?
Well, I mean, there's some teams that need, you know, Buffalo needs a receiver. The Steelers need a receiver. The Jets, like, they don't need a receiver, but it looks like Aaron gets what Aaron wants, and that's where he wants to go. Like, he could help them, but you're going to take somebody off the field to make that happen. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing. But as you're experiencing right now in Miami, you can take these guys from another team in the middle of the season. Like, what? How much timing can you expect from any of these guys if they have never learned, don't know the system, are new to the system, new to the team? Like, how quickly can they assimilate into the offense? It remains to be seen. But Pittsburgh, that offense looks like Chuck Noll was coaching it right now, you know, 50 years ago.
You know, the other thing I've known, and I always think of you first, we got a lot. Do we do this every year, this offensive line? A lot of offensive lines are really, really struggling. I know we blame the college system. We blame the development. There's a lot of offensive lines, even in some cases with veteran guys, just really struggling right now. Do you see that across the league?
Yeah. I mean, you watched that Giants-Seattle game. I mean, Geno Smith didn't have a chance. Last week, Dexter Lawrence destroyed Connor Williams inside. The right tackle is a backup tackle. Like, they don't have five quality starters up there, and the Giants crushed them. But I see it across the league, though. I see it right now. New Orleans can't run the ball at all. They've got a backup center, a backup right guard. There's no depth. They're okay if the five are out there every week. I do see, like, the Giants, like, the Jets are terrible right now. They spent a lot of money on, you know, veteran tackles and, you know, they've been drafting guys at the top of the draft inside at center and right guard, and they're playing terrible together right now. And so, I mean, literally, that Breece Hall is a good back. I mean, he can't get 2 yards right now. So I see the same thing. But at some point, Joe, they're not going to probably do this. But, like, every offensive line coach says, okay, I understand the rules, no contact, blah, blah, blah. Like, can we put the pads on the offensive and defensive linemen and just let them work on some fundamentals? You know, like, you can't do it in shorts and helmets. Like, it just doesn't connect.
Brian Baldinger here with us on QAM Insider. Calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
Yeah, by the way, if you're going that dry chicken that you might have had the night before and you want to cut it up a little bit, put some cheese. The mayonnaise just makes it. If it's dry, you throw a little salt with that mayonnaise, you're back in business, man. That mayonnaise is fantastic. You a big mayonnaise person, Baldy?
I'm a spicy mustard, Joe. Spicy mustard and ketchup guy myself, man. But look, I'm not eating chicken salad. I'm not eating turkey without spreading some almonds on there right now. I mean, I'm just doing it.
Yeah, the spicy stuff, you don't get heartburn, huh? You don't deal with heartburn at all?
No, I don't get any of that.
You are a lucky man.
I got an iron cast stomach, Joe. I can put anything in there. Like nothing. I can eat anything and I can put anything in there.
So coffee and alcohol don't like each other on a Saturday or Friday or Saturday night. They can't.
I love both of them.
Me too. And they don't like each other. Tomato sauce now all of a sudden. I can't have the tomato. No, it's just gotten miserable, man.
We got to keep fighting it, Joe. We got to fight it.
That's all you can do. That's all you can do.
That's it.
By the way, all of a sudden, one of the great games that we have this weekend, Washington going to Baltimore because Jaden Daniels is starting to act like Lamar Jackson, the way he's not only throwing the ball, but the way he runs the ball. Are you surprised on Jaden Daniels kind of getting away from the other quarterbacks a little bit as the number one guy so far?
I'm a little surprised only because he's so advanced and he's so good and his decision-making is peerless. Like, I mean, it's just you still see guys coming into the league and playing like this. But his decision-making is unreal, Joe. His arm, like he threw a ball to Terry McLaurin last week on the run, and it was just a broken play. I mean, it's 60 yards. The ball's in the air. It lands perfectly in Terry McLaurin's, hands. I mean, everything he does looks like he's got the golden touch right now.
Hey, by the way, the other story too. The Ravens all of a sudden weren't looking so good before, and now, well, they had some tough losses. Don't get me wrong, but here they are, 3-2. And Lamar and that business decision you have to make, running back that he has, those two together, what a running game they have right now. My God.
I mean, you could say Lamar could be – I mean, he's easily in the contention for his third MVP the way he played in Cincinnati. It's unreal the plays. The highlights are off the charts. Like, his highlight reel, nobody compares to him.
Let me ask you, who's the best team right now? Are you still in the Minnesota's a great story. My God, they just keep winning.
Flores is doing an unbelievable job, Joe. Flores' defense right now, Aaron couldn't figure it out. Nobody's been able to figure it out. Like, he's getting these free hitters and guys that nobody really knows. Ivan Pace Jr., Josh Metellus, Pat Jones. Like, these guys are really, Andrew Van Ginkle, but.
I was waiting for that one because everybody's pissed that we didn't re-sign him. You might as well get everybody going on that one.
In fact, even Coach Flores says that my defense isn't as good if Van Ginkle isn't in it. He's just a playmaker. They line him up everywhere. He picked Aaron Rodgers off for the pick six last week. That's his second one this year, Joe.
Yeah.
Like, they're playing. I mean, Harrison Smith is standing at the line of scrimmage. Aaron Rodgers has been in this league 20 years, and he doesn't know that he's coming. Like, he's got these people, like, they don't know. These teams don't know what to do against him right now.
And I got to tell you, just from when he was here with that aggressive stuff, guys love it. I mean, guys can say whatever. They love being aggressive.
Everybody gets a chance to make a play, Joe.
I'm with you. It's been just fantastic. Well, listen, man, this stuff's been great as always. Really appreciate you coming on, Baldy, and have a good week, man. I really appreciate it. We'll see you again next week.
You bet, Joe. I'll talk to you next week, man. Right. Have a great one.
Thank you. You too.
See you, bud.
Brian Baldinger joining us here this morning.
Ben Volen is on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. He's the senior NFL writer for the Boston Globe. Which is your favorite version of Van Halen, David Lee Roth or Sammy Hagar?
To me, David Lee Roth is the only version of Van Halen. No offense to Sammy Hagar, but come on. That's an imposter version of Van Halen. 1984 is the last album for me. Anything after that is not real Van Halen.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I've started, as I'm getting older, I've started to come around on some of the Sammy Hagar, Van Halen stuff. But for me, Van Halen, like that 1984 cassette and everything before that, Running with the Devil. I mean, some of the most iconic music And the look, the David Lee Roth look, was unlike any other.
You're talking about where he pulls down the sunglasses and gives you that sexy look?
Gives you the sexy look. He's wearing the spandex. He's got the hairy chest showing. Oh, my God. Crowder, if you didn't fall in love
with him. Don't bring my name up. Don't bring my name up.
I don't know. I mean, listen, I don't care who you were. Everyone aspired to be DLR.
Hairy chest and spandex. Get out of here.
So basically, your outfit now, Hawk, what you wear today, basically.
I wish I could rock that outfit, man. Oh, I wish I could rock that outfit.
And Hawk, it'd be a couple more pieces than old Sammy had or David
Lee. I need the man's ear. I don't think I could rock spandex. Anyway, Ben Volen. So I was goofing around there in the commercial, but do you have any takeaways from the Dolphins' victory over the Patriots on Sunday? We were saying, I know it's a few days removed now. We'll look towards the following week, but sometimes you just got to grind out a dub, and that's what the Dolphins did.
Yeah, it's a good win on the road for the Dolphins. I mean, if Jalen Polk on the Patriots can get that second foot down, the game's different, and Drake May probably isn't starting this Sunday for the Patriots. Jacoby Brissett probably still has his job. So, I mean, the game was that close. You know, I'll say this. I was impressed with the Dolphins coming into Foxborough with a third-string quarterback. And Mike McDaniel, you know, I was impressed with the creativity they showed on offense. They had a pretty good game plan. There's a lot of misdirection and play action. Just, you know, whatever it takes to move the ball when your offense is limited. And that's one thing that the Patriots really have struggled this year. Their offense has been just really boring and vanilla. And, you know, I'm watching the Dolphins, and they're at least trying. They're using some trickery and some misdirection. And the Patriots have called the fewest play action passes in the NFL, which boggles my mind because they don't have receivers who can win. They don't have an offensive line who can block. You would think all they would do would be running play action. And so I was impressed with the Dolphins actually having a plan of attack and using a little creativity against the Patriots. And, you know, I don't know if there's anything to learn necessarily from the Dolphins. Like, you want a game with your third-string quarterback. That's you put that in your pocket and you run home with it. And, you know, now they have a bye week. Maybe Tua comes back the game after that. If you can survive this Tua stretch, and what are they now, 2-3? Like, maybe you can still get your season back on track. But, yeah, I have to give them credit for coming up to New England and putting up 372 yards of offense with a, you know, very limited quarterback.
And, Ben, even when Tua was playing, the fall off of this offense, top five in every offensive category last year, you know, everybody talks about the 70-point Denver game. Right now they're averaging, I think, 13 and some change points per game. The fall off, is that the league catching up with Mike McDaniel? Is that just, you know, not calling good plays? What's going on with the offense in your mind?
I mean, to me, it's just the fact that it's early in the season and Tua got hurt a game and a half into the season, and the half a game that he played, he was dreadful that game against Buffalo. And then, you know, once you start putting in Skylar Thompson and Tim Boyle and Tyler Huntley, like, yeah, of course you're going to be scoring fewer points. So I don't think it's this grand indictment on the Dolphins scheme or on Mike McDaniel. I just think they got hit with injuries at quarterback at the wrong time. And, you know, the run game wasn't performing well for the Dolphins. You know, they've gone from the best in the league to one of the worst. But, again, it's just because it's early in the season. And I think, you know, if Tua had a few more weeks to work out the kinks instead of having that concussion, maybe the Dolphins' offense would be performing a lot better right now. And I think you start to see that league-wide last week, where in the first month of the season, I mean, most of these offenses were dreadful. And then all of a sudden last week, there was just like an explosion of offense or a lot more big plays. It was like the most 60-yard touchdowns in the last 12 years last week. There was just like an explosion of big plays. And so I just think the league is starting to wake up now. I think, you know, training camp, these coaches haven't figured out how to get their teams ready for week one yet. And the first month of the season is still a continuation of the preseason. And then the real football, I think, starts now in October. So I don't know. I wouldn't make any screaming indictments against the Dolphins offense, because I just think that Tua's injury in week two just kind of messed, you know, any sort of momentum, mess up any sort of momentum that they could be building with the offense.
Yeah, Ben, I was going to say, it kind of sounds like you're not as down on the Dolphins if and when we all expect them to. Tua Tagovailoa returns and can be healthy, as most of us, or at least I am, down here because I look at that Tennessee – or, excuse me, that week one win against Jacksonville. I mean, if Javon Holland doesn't punch out the football, the Dolphins lose that game to one of the worst teams in the league. And then, like you mentioned, they looked atrocious against the Buffalo Bills. I guess my question is, are the Dolphins built correctly? Because the biggest indictment on them last year was, hey, they can't beat elite teams, 1-6 against playoff teams. And from what we saw this year, that one game against an elite playoff team, they looked further away than they were last year.
Yeah, I think we're talking about different things here. Like, I expect the Dolphins to get back to respectability and to compete for a wild card spot. I don't think they're going to go 4-13 this year. And I think winning that game against New England was huge as far as, you know, it's probably not safe to assume that Tua is going to be back the next game. But if he is, I mean, to emerge from that stretch at 2-3 instead of 1-4, I think is massive for the Dolphins' playoff chances. So I think they're going to, you know, improve and not be, you know, the league worst offense all season. And assuming Tua comes back, I do think the Dolphins will be competitive. But to your other point, Solano, I think they're a very flawed team in that I just don't think they've been built for December and January football. I don't see them being a very mentally tough team. They're a team that's collapsed in the late season months, the last 2 years. You know, they're kind of a finesse team, you know, with all the speed on the outside. And that's it's awesome for them when it works. But then in this cold months and, you know, when you play the elite teams, the Dolphins do kind of fall apart. And this offseason, I didn't see that the Dolphins really making any major changes to their team. It looked like just kind of cosmetic changes and bringing most of last year's team back. So I still have, you know, significant questions about whether this team can compete late in the season and be a real contender. But I think they'll get back to respectability and competing for a wild card spot at the same time.